Y'all, I prayed for what to talk to you about this week. At the beginning of the week, I wasn't sure what it was supposed to be. I never really am, and I'm usually shown some through the week. As we got the news about Harbor surgery, and then Lisa showed me these pictures of Jackson, and then we went and saw that land, and then everything that happened on Friday, it was just like I was being told, I'm still here. I still do miracles. I'm still here. It's been an amazing week for a lot of us in the church. It is a Little Harbor surgery. Jackson's continued recovery. And even though they aren't members, we all, almost all of us have children. When they hurt, we hurt. And when we see an example of God working in the lives of two, it is amazing. And even the blessings continue even this morning. Seeing this little one here and this beautiful family is just, they're what make a church grow. And miracle, the word miracle gets thrown around a lot. According to Webster's Dictionary, miracle is defined as a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency. If you look up miracle on Google, you're going to get 297 million results. Everything from mayonnaise to pasta to cleaning products. We use the word a lot, but not that many of us believe it anymore. One survey by the Pew Research Center, which is one of the leading statistical centers for churches and Christianity in America, roughly 49% of Americans, they don't believe in God, don't believe in miracles. Ask why, science is used a lot. One of the enemy's favorite things, and I love science, don't get me wrong, but I think the scientific laws and things like that are an extension of things put in place by God. But they, you know, evidently you watch a little Discovery Channel and you're smarter than the Bible. And also, it's just common sense. Ain't no God. Those people wouldn't know common sense if you jumped up and bit them. But that is what we're seeing. We're seeing it on our airwaves. We're seeing a level of hypocrisy like I've never seen before. And I'm going to go off the rail here for just a minute now, get back on the rail. This week, I've watched, I've watched a senator who admitted to groping a girl in high school. I watched another senator that had a Chinese spy on her staff for 20 years. I watched another one who lied about being a Vietnam veteran all destroy or attempt to destroy a good Christian man whose only fault is what he believes in over something that it's sketchy, it's changing, and I believe is politically motivated, and that's the state of our country right now. And those are the people that are dictating there aren't any miracles. Those are the people that are dictating God's not there and people are listening. But God's here. He still does miracles. Okay, I'm back up on the rails now. If I offended anyone on this recording, I'm sorry. That's just the way I feel. And another statistic that's even scarier to me. 17 top Christian or Christian-associated denominations in the U.S., 20% of them do not believe that God still does miracles or that he ever did. You may think, well, you know, that probably doesn't take up a lot of room, Pastor. Try 17.5 million people. That's what these denominations make up. Plus the people that don't even think there's God out there to begin with. I've seen miracles. I've seen them. I have saw a man with a toe tag on his toe. he was declared dead by two board-certified internists. One of them was the most cold, stone-cold, logical, scientific man I ever saw in my life. He was on this man's bed pumping his chest when they brought him in. That man walked out of the hospital. I have seen that. I have seen miracles. I've seen tragedies, but I have seen miracles. And I think that a lot of us, if we look back, we've seen things that cannot be explained by science, but they have occurred in our lives personally, or we have heard about them from a reliable source. God's word contains hundreds of miracles. Jesus himself did 37 recorded miracles, but in each of the Gospels, there's a mention of things that cannot be recorded because it would take up volumes. So he did much more than that. And every miracle, though, has common elements to it. I got to looking through different miracles in the Bible, and they all had certain common elements. And this scripture we're going to look at is going to go through some of them. This is in Acts chapter 3. And there was a beggar there. Peter and John were going to the temple. They were going there at the ninth hour. And this is the temple of Herod. The temple of Solomon had already been destroyed by the Babylonians 600 years earlier. This temple was built by Herod the Great. Herod the Great was a member of, was actually from a place called Petra. And you may have seen like Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade where they got the big carved city. That's Petra. But he had this fascination with Hebrews and Jewish customs. He built this temple. It was magnificent. It ended up being destroyed about 40 years after this by the Romans. And there was a man who'd been lame since birth there. His family or friends would pick him up and carry him to the temple gate, and he would beg. That's how he made his living. I don't think it was by accident or coincidence that Luke, who wrote Luke, the physician, wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts. Acts is a continuation of the book of Luke. It's not by coincidence that he wrote that they were going there at the hour of prayer. Prayer is the vehicle for us to talk to God. When we talked about Samuel a couple weeks ago, Samuel's birth, which is a miracle, was a response from the prayer of his mother Hannah, who was in desperation. There was a quote that our prayer and God's mercies are like two buckets going down into a well. Our prayers are going down in one bucket. Our prayers are going up in one bucket. His mercy's coming down. In order to have a miracle, you got to have who is being affected. If you look at all the miracles in the Bible, they're affecting someone. It's not just happening just because. There's someone that's being affected. Maybe it's someone that's in their greatest hour of need. The Israelites at the Red Sea. The greatest army in the world barreling down on them. A miracle. Maybe it's someone who might be crying on the inside, convinced that nothing will ever change. Never has. Just gotten worse, maybe. Sometimes it might be a loved one praying for a change for someone who's denying there's anything wrong with them. Addiction or mental illness tearing them to pieces. Either way, they need something they cannot get without help from God. God acting on behalf of his children. The Bible never mentions anything about this man except for what's written in this one chapter. As I read through this chapter, I wonder if he prayed for healing or someone in his family that brought this. I've taken care of people who are paralyzed, and they develop sores over time. and they can be quite painful. Some people have loss of use of their legs, but they still have the sensation. Now, this man being lame, I think that was the case, that he probably felt everything. Anyone that's visited anyone in the nursing homes, those pressure points on their hips, their heels, those sores are incredibly painful. Incredibly painful. This man probably had those. As a child, he was probably ridiculed, made fun of, picked on. And children can be mean. They can be very mean. I mean, we say things as a kid we'd never say as an adult. And you think about the time. No insurance, no disability, no welfare. He was at the mercy of others, having to beg for a living. And this day, he thought it was just another day for him. He painfully sat there, hoping someone would take pity on him. Then he saw Peter and John going to the temple. He began asking to receive alms money. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to get some from them. Most of us pass by homeless people in the street. It was natural for me, and I still had to fight this tendency to look away. And I think a lot of us might be like that. Part of it, a little paranoia, suspicion, part of it, it could be me. A lot of different motivations for doing it. And also, at that time, in Judaism, they had classes, social classes. Peter and John were in a different class than this fellow. This fellow was basically one step above a leper. Now, Peter and John, they weren't the highest rung, but they weren't the lowest either. So, by custom, they would pass him by. They didn't. They locked eyes with him. Second part of the anatomy of a miracle. Someone for God to work through. If you look at what God did at the Red Sea, he could have parted it without having Moses, but he asked Moses to raise his hands, to part that. How many times did God use Aaron and his staff? God could have killed every prophet of Baal. He did, and he used Elijah. Why? God wants us to be part of his plans, his work. We are meant to be part of his plans. We have free will, though, which allows us to say no. Turn away from him. Ignore him. I've done it. Whenever I say this stuff, don't ever think I'm saying it to you, because I'll be the first to tell you. Did you say something? It's kind of like, and hopefully Lisa will probably be listening to this, but, you know, spouses develop spousal hearing loss. If my buddy came up and said, "Hey, would you like to go shooting?" Yeah. If my wife comes up and says, "Hey, would you like to go shopping?" Huh? What? And I think we develop that sometimes with God. Then if it's, "Hey, I want to bless you with a big tax refund," I got you. I want you to go over and talk to that guy that you work with. You can tell. You know he's having a hard time. Huh? What? I've done it. I've ignored it. And then I've also paid attention to it. Does it make life simpler? No. No, no, no. Does it give you something that you just can't? You just can't explain. Inside? Yes. And you think about all the people that God used for miracles. Moses, Aaron, Joshua, Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, all the disciples, even Judas, he gave power to. God wants to use us. He wants to focus his power through us. We're kind of the magnifying glass to his sunlight. So we have a who's being affected, who's being used. And those are, got to have those as part of a miracle. This guy thought he was going to be getting a payoff. Peter told him, "I don't have any gold or silver, But what I do have to give to you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. He grabbed that man by the wrist and pulled him up, and his feet and legs were strengthened immediately. He didn't hesitate. He pulled that man up, his legs and feet became strengthened, and he walked. And you think about who God used. Because some of you might be thinking, well, God ain't going to use me. He uses preachers. No. This was Peter that denied Christ 3 times after swearing he would die for him. He denied him 3 times as Jesus said he would. This is the same Peter that starts sinking in the Sea of Galilee because of his lack of faith. What happened that God would use this man for a miracle? Faith. And the will to use it. Another part of the miracle. Demons have faith. It's been recorded in the Bible. Demons and Satan himself knew who Jesus was. They had faith that he was the Son of God more than almost anyone else that Jesus came in contact with. He has the will. Peter had the will to use it. And he had faith, and Peter had been redeemed by Christ. He was flawed. We all are. But he was redeemed on the shore of the Sea of Galilee after Jesus was resurrected. Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. 3 times, the number of times he was denied. And he was redeemed with that. And Peter's faith became rock solid and will to use it. And he became the rock on which Jesus' church was built. The author of Hebrews defined faith in chapter 11 as the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. If you look back, there was someone in the mix for every miracle in the Bible with a lot of faith. Someone praying, someone doing, someone asking. Somebody had faith in there. And it was more than just faith. They had will to pray for it and ask for it. Might have been the person getting a miracle, the person God was using, or the person praying for a miracle. Jesus healed a servant of a pagan, a Roman centurion who believed in multiple gods. To be a centurion, he had to have practiced emperor worship, which means he worshiped a man as a god. This man had faith and had the will to ask Jesus to heal his servant. Jesus went to go to his house and he said, you are too good to come into my house. You say the word, it'll be done. Jesus said then he had more faith than almost anyone in Israel. Faith and the will to use it. So we got to, who's it being done for? Who's God using? Faith and the will to use it. And Jesus told his disciples, if you have the faith of a mustard seed and you tell a bush to get up and move, it'll get up and move. And this man, he took him seriously. He got up and he started moving and he started praising God. And everyone there was like, hey, that's John the beggar. This man had been forever changed. His days of begging were over. The Bible doesn't say, but this man was probably in his 20s or 30s. He'd spent all his life in pain and deformity. I love the first thing he did. He walked into the temple and he praised God. He didn't say, well, you know, it was a scientific coincidence. That's what the world wants you to say. It's just not. It's not. Jesus cured 10 lepers. Of this horrific disease of leprosy. You know how many came to tell him thank you? 1. This isn't something that you see as part of every miracle, but if God works a miracle in your life, I would encourage it. Gratitude. This man gave gratitude to God for working this miracle in his life. And that miracle, it may be something on the inside. It may be that spouse or sibling or child that is dealing with addiction, mental illness, sickness, whatever it is. And God steps in. Say thank you. You don't have to shout it from the rooftops. Say thank you. And if somebody asks, God worked in his life. It won't kill you. Might get you on CNN, but it won't kill you. Gratitude is one of the most sincere forms of saying thank you. Just God does what he does out of love. I think the least we can do is say thank you for it. And these people were looking at this guy, and he was still hanging on to Peter and John. I would have been too. And there was something called the Portico of Solomon, which if you look at Herod's temple, it's one of the main parts of it. It has all, it's like a porch. Herod named it after Solomon. It has all these huge columns to it. And it was there. And there were a lot of people there. The temple was the center of Jerusalem. I'm sure they had to be surprised. I mean, I've seen miracles. I'm surprised every time I see one. When I was praying for Harvard surgery, I thought that boy was going to have about 3 open heart surgeries. Glad I was wrong. I was amazed when I saw those pictures of Jackson. Every picture I see of Jackson, I am amazed. When I got the report from Tara that Regina's surgery was successful, and hopefully we're going to be getting some good, good test results, I was amazed. Pastor, not. It's natural to be amazed when you see God working in your life or the lives around you. I mean, if I knew somebody that was crippled from birth and they were up there doing the Watusi, I would be amazed, wondering what was going on. We pray, we read the Bible, we've seen miracles, but it's humbling and amazing every time that you see God's hand move in your life in such a way that can't be naturally explained. And when Peter saw this, he did something that I think is very amazing. I think that's missing from a lot of churches. He gave glory to God. You see me, you like my message, I'll be first to tell you, it comes from the Holy Spirit. If I pray for you and you think it's a beautiful prayer, it comes from the Holy Spirit. I cannot do that. I cannot come up with those words. If I pray for you in a way that you wonder how I even know it, I don't know it. It pours out of me. There may be details for, there are things I have prayed about people and for people, and I don't know how I know it. And I'm not special. We all have that ability to pray. We all have spiritual gifts. It may not be fancy, but I always try to give God credit. When I'm praying up here at the end of these messages, I'm giving God thank you and gratitude for using me, because he doesn't have to. And Peter did that. Peter did that. It ain't us. It's Jesus. The same Jesus you disowned. The same Jesus that you didn't recognize. Look at the world today. They're still disowning him. They still don't recognize him. They call him just an ordinary man. They call him a charlatan. Name of God, in the name of Jesus, a lot of things have been done that they ain't never had any part of. It's happening in churches. Our children are being taught Muhammad. Our children are being taught about Buddha. Our children are being taught about Hinduism. In our schools that we're paying money for, guess what they're not being taught about? Jesus Christ. because that would offend people. But yet, God's still here. God ain't on the big stage alone. God's working in the lives of people from Iva, people from Honey Path, people all around us. And Peter was just saying, this is it. And in that last verse, he talks about the faith which comes through him has given him. That is the faith that this beggar had. I didn't realize till the end of this scripture. I'd already started making my notes. The faith this man had. And I'm sure it brought about a prayer and God answered it. Through someone who had denied him. Someone that their faith had faltered. That God redeemed and prepared. You've heard me say it before. God doesn't call the prepared. He prepares the called. Peter, prime example. Verse 14, what they were talking about was Barabbas. That crowd, a lot of whom were in this crowd right now, had the chance to free Jesus. It was a Jewish custom, the eve of Passover. They could decide to release one man in custody. They chose a murderer and gave up the Son of God to die. But that son is still doing miracles for his people. Ultimate miracle, going to the cross for us, taking our sins that he never had any. Jesus was sinless, and he took our sins for him. And he's still in this world. As we get ready to go to prayer, I want you to think about something. Do you or someone in your life need a miracle? And I don't mean, if you look up miracles, there's a church down near Georgia, or it's in Georgia, that for a price, they can work you out a miracle. God don't take credit cards. God does what he does out of love. If someone ever comes up to you and says they will do it for a price, they're not from God. They're not from God. But if you or someone in your life need a miracle and there's a situation that can't be fixed without God, have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? I mean honest prayer. Remember, prayer is the vehicle we use to talk to God. This is the who needs it and how it gets to God. I'm going to tell you, though, if you pray about a miracle for Sue, don't be surprised if God starts looking right at you. I'll do it, but I'm going to use you. And then you have a decision to make. Are you going to be that person, that vehicle for God? This is where the faith and the will comes in. God's not going to make it simple sometimes. He likes a challenge, evidently, or likes the servants to have a nice challenge, but it's worth it. If you don't have the faith, it's okay. I pray for faith. I pray to overcome my unbelief at times because I hear this world. I pray for it. And there's no shame. Any pastor that tells you he does not pray to be spiritually stronger for the people he takes care of. Because we should. We need to if we're not. And it's okay to pray, God, I'm talking the talk, help me walk the walk. I want this miracle for this person. You're looking at me. I don't even know how to begin. Work through me. There's nothing wrong with that. Prayer without faith is like car without gas. The only direction you can go is downhill. And ask God. He will help you with your faith. But you have to humble yourself. And that's something sometimes we have a hard time with. humbling ourselves to ask for this faith, for what we need. We're taught to be independent, and independence in some forms is good. As believers, we're not independent. We shouldn't be. It's okay to pray in groups. It's okay to ask for prayer. It's okay to tell God, I ain't got it together. I'm scared to death. I'm afraid my kid is going down the wrong road. My marriage is going down the tubes, or whatever it is. Or I can't stop taking pills, or whatever it is. I need help. Sue needs help. Someone needs help. We ain't getting it. We can't survive without you. God works in your life. Last thing, give him gratitude for it. Give him the credit and the glory for it. Because he ain't going to get it on CNN. He ain't going to get it on MSNBC. He ain't going to get it on C-SPAN, that's for sure. And also, be ready. Because if he uses you once, got news for you. He's going to keep knocking. And you may get the urge at a Starbucks, a McDonald's, wherever, when you open that door. And you will also get attacked more. You become a vehicle for God, you're going to get attacked more. Fiery darts come out. But this is your life. And there are still miracles being performed in this hurting, needing world. I think we all know somebody or multiple people that need them. And ask yourself, there's this big problem. Have I ever prayed about it? Have I ever actually prayed for this person who's been on alcohol for 10 years? Have I actually prayed for them to put that down and ask God to work a miracle in their life? And am I prepared when he looks at me to be the vehicle for that miracle? I'm going to get everybody to stand with me, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then the offerings be open. Heavenly Father, we come to you on this Sunday, and we've seen these pictures of Harbor and Jackson and the land we're looking at and the news about them and Regina. Father, we know you still work miracles. We know that you work miracles here. And Father, we're in need of them. We are in need of them in our personal lives, our spiritual lives. Father, we're in need of miracles for this country. Father, so many people are turning away from you. We need a miracle of spiritual renewal. We need miracles of freedom from addictions. We need miracles of help with mental and physical illness. All of us know someone that needs this help. Father, when we ask for this, we need to be prepared because you will point it to us and say, I want to use you. Father, help us to have the heart of a servant and to be used. In all these things we pray. Amen.